So there is a question that I think this Feast of the Ascension that we celebrate today poses. Because here we have Jesus, it's 40 days after Easter, and he's taken up to heaven, and he's talking to his disciples first. That's the first reading. So here's the question. Does Jesus change lives? Does Jesus make a difference? Not in the stories we read on Sundays when Jesus walked 2,000 years ago changing people's lives in Jerusalem and Galilee. Does Jesus change lives today? If he changes lives, if he has made a difference in my life, then what follows is a desire to plug other people into him. Because you never get from Jesus, from anything he says in the gospel, that he wants you to stop with just you and him. Right? Me and Jesus are on good terms, let's leave it there. Right? No, Jesus is always telling his followers to go out, to make disciples. And so we have Acts chapter 1 as our first reading today. Here is Jesus, he's risen from the dead, he spent the last 40 days with the disciples, teaching them and just opening their minds to the scriptures and everything about him. So they know who he is. They know that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Savior, he is the Son of God. And so Jesus now leads them out to Bethany, this high up kind of hill where you can see all of Jerusalem, the surrounding area, this majestic view of all the places where Jesus was. And the disciples are like, okay, we know that you're the Lord, you're the King of Kings, Prince of Peace, you're the Messiah. So are you, at this point, going to restore the kingdom? Because you're the one who does that. You're the one who is going to restore the kingdom. Are you going to do that now? And Jesus gives this really interesting answer, because the first part of the answer, he says, well, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. That's the Father. But then he says basically to them, no, you are. They ask him, essentially, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus says, nope, that's you. He says, you are going to receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and to the ends of the world. I mean, you guys, that should blow us away that Jesus puts that in our hands. When Jesus is asked, are you going to restore the kingdom? He says, nope, I'm going to let you do that. With my power, certainly the power of the Holy Spirit, this dynamite power that I'm going to give to you, but you will be my witnesses. And so now the main gist of the ascension is go. Go tell people who have no hope. Go tell people who are not plugged in that they have hope. But before we do that, we need to go back and ask ourselves, does Jesus change lives? Has Jesus changed my life? Has he made a difference in my life? Because if the answer is no, not really, then when Jesus says go, why would we go? If Jesus hasn't really done anything for me that I recognize, how can I go out and tell other people that he can change their lives? I was talking to a woman a while back, not from here, who was sharing her story about all that she'd gone through, and she gets to this one point, and she stops and gets very serious and says, this is where Jesus saved my life. I said, yeah, this is your story. She says, no, Jesus saved my life. And for her, it started with someone actually coming up to her and sharing how Jesus had made a difference in their life. And so how important is it that we got to know our own story? And I think we can all do a better job than at sharing those stories, because I think it can be very comfortable, even very natural, to fall into this mentality of me and Jesus is enough. Because Jesus says here that isn't enough. He says go out and share with others that they can have hope in me as well. Pope Paul the Sixth, Pope from decades ago, wrote an encyclical that was entitled Evangelii Nuntiandi. That's Latin for evangelizing the modern world. And I just want to read a couple lines from that to you and really have us take this to heart. He says, evangelizing is in fact the grace and vocation proper to the church, her deepest identity. She, the church, exists to evangelize. And may the world of our time, which is searching, sometimes with anguish, be enabled to receive the good news, not from evangelizers who are dejected, discouraged, impatient, or anxious, but from ministers of the gospel whose lives glow with fervor. Whose lives glow with fervor. And so Corpus Christi, our parish, it exists to bring salvation to every person within our parish boundaries, Catholic or otherwise. And the pastor of any parish is charged with the responsibility for the pastoral care, the conversion, the salvation of every single person within the parish boundary. Everybody. But it doesn't happen by me going out. Maybe a little here and there, but I don't live out in the world the way you do. There's one of me, there's many of you. So it happens by you going out, and not in some kind of obtuse or awkward way, which isn't good for anybody, but when somebody's going through a hard time, to share with them, let me tell you what gets me through hard times. Let me tell you the difference Jesus has made in my life. And you share with them in a way that is attractive to get them to ask within themselves, or this desire to say, I want what this person has. So at the end of every Mass, there is the dismissal that the priest or deacon gives. And that moment is not so much the priest or deacon saying, go out, the Mass is ended, right? It's Jesus who's saying to you, go now and make disciples. It's his commission before he ascends that we heard about in today. So part of what Mass does is make people into evangelizers. We are refilled, renewed with his Spirit to go out. And Jesus is not saying to us, go out and pray a little more. Go out there and just be a little nicer than other people. Go out there and pay your taxes and stay out of jail, and that's kind of enough. Jesus doesn't say that. That's not what Jesus is preparing you for at Mass. That's not the commission Jesus gives to the disciples. Jesus says, go and be martyrs. That's the Greek word for witnesses. Go and be martyrs. Be witnesses for me before the entire world. And of course, martyr means someone who dies for the faith. Sometimes that's all the way. Somebody gives up their life physically. But for all of us, it's go out and offer up your life as my witness, as my martyr. And so a question that maybe we can reflect on as we pray through the rest of Mass today, when we look at our own lives, do I look like Jesus who was killed by the world? Or do I look like the world that killed Jesus? Because that's the big question in our lives. When we think about our day-to-day lives and what we do for Jesus or not do, do I look like Jesus who was killed by this world? Or do I look like the world that killed Jesus? And somebody might say, well, isn't it enough to be nice? No. The world has tons of nice people. So many nice people in the world, it's ridiculous. You and I have to be more, right? Because if we're called to follow Christ, we have to be more. It's not an option. It's a command. It's what we were made for. Because as Christians, we need to do what? We need to be able to love the unlovable. We need to touch the untouchable. We need to be able to reach the unreachable. And we need to save those that the world has deemed unsavable. And even more than that, not worthy to be saved. So if we are truly going to do what Jesus says before he ascends to heaven, he says, I'll send the Holy Spirit of power, and then you'll be witnesses, you'll be my martyrs. If we have to be the kind of people that are able to love defiantly in this world, that when somebody says, well, that's somebody else's job, we're the ones who say, yeah, that's my job. And when we as a parish embrace why it is that we exist as a parish fully, I mean, get ready. Get ready for more and more lives to be transformed. And so next Sunday is Pentecost. The apostles were incapable of evangelizing before Pentecost. They were crippled with fear. In fact, the gospel today, before Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells the apostles, he's like, just stay put for now. Don't go out yet. Not really a vote of confidence in his apostles before he goes. He says, just stay in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. Just wait until Pentecost, he says. For us, in preparation then for Pentecost next week, I would invite you, ask you to spend some of your time in prayer, asking the Lord to help you, to help each of us, articulate the difference Jesus has made in our lives. To think it through, to put words to it, to write it down maybe if we have to. And if you're sitting there this morning saying, I don't know if Jesus has made a difference in my life. I don't think he has. That's okay. This week, ask him to. Ask him to break into your life. To say, help me know you, Lord. To encounter you. Help me to know what it is you've done for me. And give me hope. Give me the peace that I long for in my life. Move me to repentance if that's what's needed to get your hope and peace that I crave. The peace that you say only can be had from you. Like, I want that. And then submit your life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Just submit to him. Be humble before him and experience the freedom that can only be had from putting our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the antidote to despair. He's the antidote to having no peace. He is hope. And when we become convicted of that to the fullest degree, we'll plug others into him. And we'll be ready for many more lives to be transformed. Because here's the simple reality. The world doesn't need me. The world doesn't need you. The world needs Jesus. And you and I have been commissioned by Jesus to bring Jesus to the world. America's losing hope. People we know around us are losing hope. Let's show them him who is hope. Amen.